It's time now for the complete story with Dick Bott, a public news and information feature of Bott Radio Network, to keep you informed about the most important issues of our day. Now, here is Dick Bott with today's complete story.
Well, you know, folks, I've said over and over and over again, Missouri is known as the Show Me State. I cannot remember exactly when that phrase was first coined or when it first started. But maybe it was with Harry Truman. I don't know. I don't remember. I remember Harry Truman said that the buck stops someplace, so it stops at my desk. Somebody has to take responsibility and be accountable for the things that happen. But anyway, Missouri has been known as the Show Me State. I need to do some research on that and find out exactly how that got started. But today's broadcast is for the benefit of our Missouri people, our Missouri listeners, Bott Radio Network's Missouri listening audience across the state, because we're going to be talking to a candidate for a statewide office. And I've just enjoyed interviewing Cynthia Davis every time, because she is just very outspoken. She has a very candid way of expressing herself. And she certainly has no problem taking a position and standing for those things that she really believes are right. And so that's kind of made it always refreshing to interview Cynthia Davis. Now, Cynthia is running right now in the Constitution Party in Missouri. We'll ask her about that, because she used to be a member of the Republican Party. She was in the House of Representatives for a long time. And now she's running for Missouri's lieutenant governor in the Constitution Party. And we'll ask her all about that. But Cynthia Davis, it's good to have you on The Complete Story to talk to our Missouri listeners.
And it's great to be here. Thank you.
All right. Now tell me, why run for lieutenant governor as opposed to other statewide offices?
Well, the lieutenant governor is really a great office for someone like me. It's the perfect fit, because the lieutenant governor is a member of both the legislative and the executive branch of government. And what makes that so special is that means I get to preside over the Senate, and I get to engage in the debate of the Senate. And somebody needed to debate on the MOSIRA bill last September, when they were voting to give taxpayer money to people who do human cloning. And Missouri Right to Life came there and told them, guys, this is a bad vote. You don't want to do that. And they said, oh, we have a gentleman's handshake. We won't do that. But they did it anyway. And sadly, where was the lieutenant governor in the debate? Because I believe that could have helped shape the way things happened. And we all need to engage. We have to look at what we're doing. But then there's a point where we expect the elected representatives to speak for us and to create the opportunity for us to learn, why is it bad? Why is legislation good or bad? And when you have somebody there who has studied the Constitution and wants to be constitutional about it, you've got a winning recipe. It is the perfect message. And you know what? With the House and Senate both being run by Republicans, and the governor's office run by a Democrat, it is absolutely critical that we get somebody in there who will be from another party to monitor what's going on, to put some limit on the love fest they're having up there and say, let's go back to the Constitution. I don't care how much you love your best friends. That's not the right reason for voting for this bill.
No. Now, you mentioned the Constitution. Of course, you're running as a candidate for the Constitution Party, but you mentioned the Constitution. I want to point out right now in the Supreme Court of the United States, of course, why the Constitution is being tested on this health care, this Obamacare bill, you see. And so the Supreme Court justices, what they're having to say now, is this bill that has been passed by a very, very narrow margin, and people would say that the tricky Democrats, especially starting in the White House, you know, they kind of pulled a fast one, but they got it passed so far. I mean, it is the law, and now it's just kind of being enacted, but is it constitutional? And that brings me back to my whole point. Is it constitutional? And within every state, we have our state constitutions also. And the state constitution is supposed to rule as to what should be and should not be done within the state legislature as well as the executive branch. And so what you're saying is absolutely right, and you have a great regard for the Constitution, don't you?
Well, that's all we have. That is our common denominator. It is the statement of our beliefs. And if you don't like it, then there is a way to change it. But other than changing the Constitution, let's just all abide by it until it is changed. It's the greatest Constitution that any country has ever had in civilization. So why we would disregard it, and really that's the only method that the people on the left have for eroding our fabric of our society, is first they've got to get rid of the Constitution. And if they can't get rid of it, then they're in trouble, because the Constitution is based on fundamental principles that will guide us and navigate us through all decisions if we want to just rely on what we already said we agree to.
All right. So anyway, you were in the House of Representatives in Missouri for quite a little while as a Republican. And the thing that I remember is you were very outspoken, and you really didn't always play ball with the party leadership. You were kind of your own person. And seemingly by the positions you took were always on the side of the Constitution, always on the side of what is right versus what is popular and that sort of thing. Now, I want to mention something here I found on your website. Why, it said a letter to the Republican Party, and it said, "Dear Central Committee members," but down here a little ways you say, "My criticism of the Republican Party is not a criticism of the many fine people who consider themselves Republicans, but it is a critique of those insiders who control the Republican Party and who have allowed these things to occur when they could have and should have acted." And then you go on to enumerate, you know, the growing bigger government always, and then pandering over principles, and government of the highest bidders. And you mention these things, Republican cannibalism. What do you mean by that?
Well, thank you for the question, because there are a lot of good Republicans out there, and I'm one. I've been a lifelong Republican. And the reason I was a Republican is because I believed in limited government and personal responsibility and fiscal responsibility. And all those are good reasons. While I was there not only in the belly of the beast, but I got to be in the ring. I didn't just get a front row seat. I was in the arena. And what I observed is that people do make decisions based on either they're principled or they're not. So it's either doing the right thing or it's doing what your friends tell you is right. And this is hurting the party. In fact, we had a grand experiment on what's wrong with the party right here in St. Charles County with the way they conducted the caucus. There were some people who said, "Let's not worry about the rules." and by doing so, we'll get our right people getting the right votes. Well, you know what? There are enough law-abiding citizens who know that you really can't cheat. And if you really don't care about the rules, then we need to get some people in office who do care about the rules, because that is our civility, really. That's what defines our standards. Now, you mentioned the Supreme Court discussing the healthcare freedom, and I was at the rally yesterday at the Capitol, and there were hundreds of people who came and spoke out against what's going on with the big government pushing their agenda. Can you explain to me why it is that we have a Republican majority in the U.S. House, and yet they're still funding Planned Parenthood, which we all know is funding abortions?
Well, I suppose it's a lack of resolve. It's a lack of clarity. It's a lack of let's really mean what we've been talking about in a way that brings a genuine attention to that issue.
Yeah, but the vast majority of them ran claiming they were pro-life. And they obviously can't be, or they wouldn't still be funding organizations that do abortions.
See, then we get back to what you said in your letter, because to broad brush a Republican as a known quantity, as a known quality, is probably wrong, because you mention here that your position is not a criticism of the many fine people who are Republicans, except it is a critique of those insiders who control the party all too often, because there are those in Congress in Washington, plus in here in state government, of course, who are Republican. They ran as a Republican, they ran as a conservative, but then when they get in office, they really don't mean it. So I suppose your running now for lieutenant governor in Missouri gives the people a chance to vote for a candidate who has a record of really meaning it.
Well, that's right. Have you ever heard of the battered wife syndrome?
Well, of course.
Well, that's when you've got a couple and they fight, and they sometimes people will beat each other up and it gets physical, and that's wrong. And the police will come in, they can take pictures, they've got bruises and broken bones or whatever, missing teeth, and by the time the couple gets to court, usually the one who did the abusing will patch things up and say, hey, I won't do that to you again. Let's all be friends, and then they go back together, and they don't even have a court case by then, because the one who's abused believes that I won't get beat up again. And I'm explaining to you, this is what's happening to the good Republicans in Missouri. We're suffering from the battered wife syndrome. We are getting beaten up by the bad laws they're passing and the bad laws they're not repealing, even though they're in charge in Missouri and in the U.S. House. And every time they try and kiss and make up, come election time, and say, trust me again, I'll be good to you this time. I won't defy our principles that even the Republican platform says they agree in. But yet they do, time and time again. And it's getting worse. Every year we're watching the trend, and they're doing more spending, and the budget's growing bigger, and they're spending money on things they ought not even be doing, spending money on, and they're not even willing to trim those off. And so we're getting a bloated budget, and we're getting bigger government, and we're getting more bad laws that are intruding on our lives. The last thing they're considering right here in Missouri is the one that is going to make Big Brother know what kind of prescriptions you take. And even though I understand the philosophy behind it, and any of your listeners who, anybody who's had somebody addicted to prescription drugs thinks that will solve the problem, but no, it won't. It will grow government bigger, and people will still find a way. You know what? There's no answer except for the church to be the church and for the people to be loving to their family members, because you can't fix drug addiction without that personal dynamic of accountability where people know you and love you and say, hey, let's get off the pills. I can help you. See, government can't do that.
No, and government shouldn't do it.
No, and so all these silly laws they keep passing with a bigger majority of Republicans than they've ever had before is still wrongheaded, and it's still not getting us where we need to go. And that's why I have to run for lieutenant governor, because we need people who will hold them accountable and say, you know what, if that's not going to get us from point A to point B, why are we doing this? We don't have the money to do it, and we surely shouldn't be doing this to our innocent citizens. And they really need a dose of common sense very badly up there right now.
Yeah. All right. Now, listen, folks, we're talking to Cynthia Davis, a former Missouri representative for a long time, many years. And also now she is running for lieutenant governor in the state of Missouri. And she's running on the Constitution Party ticket. Now, how can people vote for you, even though they may be a registered Republican or registered Democrat? Can they still vote for you in the election if they say, hey, this is the candidate I want to represent me as the lieutenant governor?
Well, the idea of a registered Republican or registered Democrat is a myth. We don't have registration in Missouri, so anybody can vote for anybody they get on any ballot. And in November, you won't see my name until probably November, but when you see my name on the ballot, it will have the name of my party next to me, but hey, it will list me right next to the Republican and the Democrat nominees. And everybody has a choice. And it's our God-given right. And we have to, I'm telling you, the right of conscience is what I'm talking about. We have an obligation, a moral obligation, to vote for the person who best reflects our principles. And that's where it all comes together. Because we have to be brave, we have to be strong, we have to be courageous, and we have to do the right thing. Just going along to get along is hurting us. That's not working well. But I've got good news that we don't have to live like this anymore. That's the message, that we have a remedy, and it's through our political system. It was designed so that you can vote for whoever resonates with your beliefs. And that's what made America so great, is because we do have choices.
Yeah. Are you saying then that what we need is individual freedom, but also accompanied by individual responsibility, and then get the government out of spending money, the taxpayers' money, to buy the votes and to take care of everybody in sight as though the government, state government or federal government, is the big mama?
Well, here's the other point. In terms of how they deal with alcoholics, and I'm calling the government in a similar fashion to being an alcoholic, it's time for an intervention. And an intervention is when you come to reality and say, look, this is not serving us well anymore. I am the designated driver in the room full of drunks. I am the one who's going to help people see that we don't have to live like this anymore, and that we have to do some corrective steps to get the train back on the track, because the train is veering off and it's time for us to get it back together. So, you know, the old expression, you asked the question about voting, and a lot of people are afraid to not vote Republican because they've always done that, and yet, what would happen if you went to buy a car and you went to one car dealer and one only, and you said, I'm going to buy this car and I don't care what it costs, I'm going to always and ever buy from you? Well, you're not going to get the best car at the best price. You owe it to yourself to look at three different car lots and talk to each one about what kind of car do you have and what kind of prices do you have. And then you can make a more intelligent decision. So I'm asking the voters to think through, wait a minute, this is a big commitment. If you vote for the wrong person, it's like buying a car for too much money and maybe not the model you wanted. Mm. We owe it to ourselves to go around, shop around, look at all the candidates, take a little bit of effort to become informed ourselves. And I do have a website. It's votecynthia.com. And that's where that process begins, with showing some personal responsibility to say, I'm going to pick the one that really does make the most sense to me. And there's some lifelong Republicans, like I was, who always figured, I'll have to vote Republican because that's the only way we're going to get anywhere. Well, no, I think the most loving thing we can do for the Republican Party is to show them that we're not going to take any more of this left-wing stuff. And this is the only way we can show them. If you actually lose an office over moving to the left, this is what you're going to get.
See, folks, the office of lieutenant governor may not be totally understood by many people, but the lieutenant governor has an opportunity for a bully pulpit among many, many other opportunities to influence exactly, you know, at least to bring public awareness to these things and to absolutely engage in the debate. And that's very, very important. So, Lieutenant Governor, Cynthia, you would know exactly how to make that office effective, wouldn't you?
Right. And also, the Constitution Party is the only party that vets their candidates and has a scrutinizing process. They don't just take anybody. You've got to be very astute and informed on the issues to even be accepted to run on the Constitution Party ticket. They don't take any riffraff off the street. They actually are the only party that is 100% pro-life. And when you see a Constitution Party name, that means you can trust that that person has committed to being pro-life all the way, not just in abortion, but they also understand cloning, and they understand euthanasia, and they understand whatever else we're doing wrong to be uncivil in our society.
Yeah. I think what you're saying is that when an issue is brought up, why, the Constitution Party candidate will go right to the bone, and they won't just talk about it, but they'll get right down to brass tacks on it. But you're not necessarily speaking for every candidate for every other office. We're just talking to you about this office, but I get the gist of what you're saying.
Well, the gist is that I was there in the House when we would vote on pro-life issues, and occasionally I would watch some of my colleagues vote anti-life, and I was puzzled by that because being pro-life is part of the Republican platform too, you know, and I was like, why would they defy the platform? Well, it's because there's no accountability and there's no guarantee and I think that it's such a core principle for us as Christians that we understand that life is sacred because we're made in the image of God. And if you don't understand that part, then you're not going to understand why we're pro-life.
Yeah. Cynthia, you're running a 30-second spot announcement. I want our listeners to hear this, and we'll come back and talk about it. But also, I want to bring up some of the issues that are really important to Missouri. One is the budget. You know, the idea of some people are saying they must raise taxes because they don't have enough money. I want to bring that up, and then I want to talk about education, which is so important in the state of Missouri, and several other things I know that you have very strong opinions on, but here is the spot.
Hi, this is Cynthia Davis, and I'm running to be your Lieutenant Governor. Help is on the way. Are you ready for principled government? Then let's raise the iron shade and let the sun shine in. I will be the one to hold them all accountable. I received an award for being the most constitutional legislator in the state of Missouri. So join me in the fight to get our state back on track. Go to VoteCynthia.com. I'm Cynthia Davis, and it's time for a constitutional Lieutenant Governor.
You are so much fun. I just really enjoy interviewing you from time to time. We need to do this more often.
Well, but we're having fun. Thank you.
Now, they tell me now when you spoke at in central Missouri, was it at Lake of the Ozarks in Camden County? It's a huge group that gathers there. And I guess the crowd was really good, and they tell me that you really rang the bell.
Well, the problem is Lake of the Ozarks is one of the gems of the state of Missouri, and it's fully contained in our state. So when a national bureaucracy comes in that's dealing with federal energy, it puzzles us that they were trying to actually condemn 4,200 structures and say you have to tear those down. And the main reason why is they thought they were too close to the shoreline of a lake that never floods. And what is it the federal government's business? Somebody needs to stand up and tell them, no, we don't do this. This is our state. We'll take care of our own internal affairs, and you can go home and leave us alone. I mean, this is harassing the citizens, and it is dealing with property rights. And if we can't protect our own property, what is the purpose of government? Of all the purposes, we are the property. We have to protect people's rights. We protect our people. That's government. That's why government exists.
See, some people I know in St. Louis or in various parts of the state, they'll not know exactly what the issue that I think you're talking about here at Lake of the Ozarks, at least, is when people who bought their homes at Lake of the Ozarks along the shore, you know, years and years ago, sometimes the third generation of a family now have that home, and they have the deed to the land, they have everything that is, and then all of a sudden now, through some of this federal bureaucracy you're talking about, why they come in now and say, well, you know what, we really don't think you have the right deed to the land, because you don't have the deed that we say you should have, and now we declare that probably part of your property that you've owned all of these years really isn't your property at all. It belongs to whoever the authority is that runs the lake and so on and so forth. This has a lot of people up in arms. It certainly has hurt the real estate value in the real estate market here at Lake of the Ozarks. And so people are really up in arms because when they have paid off their home, they've been making payments on it for years and years. They have the deed, they have the real estate transaction, all the papers signed and everything else, and then some bureaucracy comes in and says, well, now, we say that you don't really have it at all. Well, that really leaves people up in a state of unbelievable confusion, doesn't it?
Well, Karl Marx is the one who said, the theory of communism may be summed up in one sentence, abolish all private property. And there is a an agenda to really disrespect our property. And that's what's at the heart of this is that, you know, since Obama's been in the White House, we've seen more of this encroachment on our rights, and they're trying to prove that big government is all-knowing and that we have to succumb to them. We have to prove to them, no, our state says that you don't have a right to monkey with our state business. So the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution already says no person shall be deprived of their life, liberty, or property without the due process of law. So where is the compensation? Why is there nobody setting up trying to let the national government pay these people for the land they're going to be losing?
Well, and now I understand that it's not completely determined whether or not they will be losing it. So it's the state of confusion and question and wonderment and everything else that people just don't know anymore. And I think that's kind of endemic across the country with Obamacare and everything else. Now, as I have watched this, the Democrats advance that and the Republicans tend to roll over and accept it. And this is where I think the people, especially in the Show Me State in Missouri, they want politicians they know they can count on, and when they listen to what they stand for, they can trust them once they're in office. And that's why I think people, Cynthia Davis, you know, are kind of taking note of your candidacy for lieutenant governor, because as you mentioned at the start of the program, why, you have influence through the bully pulpit and other direct ways in the whole process of these things.
And also, people want a fighter. They don't want somebody. We're not electing someone to go up there and attend all the cocktail parties and smoke cigars and play poker late at night. We want somebody to stand up for the people and say, we will not allow these unelected bureaucracies to make laws that are going to hurt us. And we need people who will be brave and strong and say, you know what, right is right and wrong is wrong. And we're going to do what's right now and help us get through this with some moral clarity. And that's why I love the Constitution, because we stand on that. We can argue all of our issues through constitutional existing laws that are in place. And it's worked beautifully for over 200 years. Let's keep it.
Yeah. All right, now quickly in the closing moments here, I want to mention, touch on the education issue in Missouri, because it's so important. Kansas City, let's take that for an example. I know St. Louis and also and everywhere else, without parental choice in choosing the best school for the child, of course, the child has to be accepted. So you do have standards. You do have checks and balances. You do have all of these things so that you can create an atmosphere in a schoolroom where those little kids can get started off and they can learn and they can develop and they can feel good about themselves, and they don't have to grow up in a failed, broken, miserable school situation because they're locked in by their zip code. And now we've had third and fourth generations of people in the Kansas City district. They never have been able to maintain even minimum state accreditation standards. It is a disgrace. How do you feel about that?
You know what? There is no substitute for parental involvement. But when big government gets bigger and bigger, they discourage parents from being involved. You know, it started with when they said, you leave us to take care of breakfast and lunch for your kids now, and then we'll do before school and after school daycare, and then we'll do preschool.
Well,
and how do you expect the parents to stay engaged when government is not only pushing to do more, but funding it, like as if they've got all the money in the world, and parents are left to feel like, well, then who am I?
Yeah, Cynthia, we could do another whole program on this. I could sure feel it, because even when a kid doesn't have parents that should be involved, and that's a given, but the school, if the school is set up so it maintains order, it maintains a decorum of learning and everything else in the classroom, that gives the teachers the break to do what they're supposed to do. Let the educators educate and hold them accountable to do so.
Right. I'm with you. I'm totally with you.
Listen, give us your website, because we've got to get out of here.
Yeah, It's VoteCynthia.com, and I send out a newsletter every week. And I God bless all of you for doing your part to be salt and light in the world.
Running for lieutenant governor in the state of Missouri on the Constitution ticket and the Constitution Party ticket. All right, this is Dick Bott with this chapter of The Complete Story as a public service for our Missouri listeners. I'll see you later.